The following media was brought to you by Tome of Huzzah!
Can you meet me halfway? Right at the borderline, that's where I'm gonna wait. For you, I'll be looking out. Night and day, took my heart to the limit, and this is where I'll stay. Whoa, 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 I can't go any further than this. Oh, whoa, whoa, want you so bad, it's my only wish.
Oh, damn, the notes, the beats, oh, my hips can't help but boogie, Henry.
Well, what can I say, Rudy? I am nothing short of a professional singer, and that's what I always strive to be.
And that's what we here at Global Local FM do. We are professional singers on these Monday mornings, because you know what? On a Monday morning, that's the best anyone can get. This is the state of being when we and opera singers, same thing.
I do think it's funny how we've transitioned from like a normal intro to just now we're singing always. And I guess that's mostly due to you, Rudy, because I would not have done this before.
It was more like a thing because I just like to sing in the late. Like I'm the person who just sings in the shower and stuff like that. But this just came naturally and then people liked it. So I was like, why not?
Well, that's fair. Well, what do you think of my Black Eyed Peas impression there?
I think I would believe it more if you would blackface yourself.
Okay, sir. Well, for what it's worth, that was Fergie's part, and she's white, so I think I did all right there, actually. Okay.
No, we would never do that. Actually, so, on that note, maybe we should tell where we are. I actually feel kind of nauseous a bit. What the fuck?
What's happening?
I'm Henry. Henry?
Oh!
Hello everyone and welcome back to yet another episode of The Vagabond Dilemma, featuring our brilliant co-host Rudy and our entertainer of this evening, Henry.
This feels familiar.
So, how are you guys doing this evening?
Well, Sid, I guess I'm doing okay, but I don't know, something feels off.
Some fishy right here. Some's not right.
Yeah, you guys went glassy-eyed for a second there. I don't know what was happening, but
really.
Well, I mean,
yeah, I don't know.
I mean, listen, a job is a job, and we are nothing short of professionals.
Hell yeah, we are.
All right. How are you, Sid?
I'm doing quite well. It's been a week. It's I've just been surviving. You know how it is. You know how it goes.
I just say this to the listeners? Sid was so ready to say something completely else. And then he just goes, how are you? Sits there, mouth open already to say, yeah, I'm good. Thanks for asking.
Yeah, well, I feel like we should reciprocate, you know.
Thank you.
Anyway.
True.
All right, so for today's episode, I thought we could, you know, change up the format a little bit. Do some lateral thinking, if you will. So I am going to present you with a prompt and you have to figure out what this means. Of course, given the podcast, it still has to do with missing explorers in some capacity. So I will let you figure this out on your own.
Interesting. It's a bit of a deviation from our usual format.
Yeah, but are you guys ready for this?
Yes.
Okay, Henry, we have to sync up on this. How do we show him that we are hyped?
Hello, Sid. I am hype.
Hello, Sid. I am hype as well.
Hell yeah, I'm hype as well, guys. Let's go.
All right, let's go.
All right. This is going to sound a bit like a riddle, because it is.
Nice.
Okay. All right.
Okay, listen carefully, okay? 1 foot placed on Mount Everest help resolve a sandy situation thanks to global warming. How?
What is happening?
1 foot set on Mount Everest. Help resolve global warming due to a sandy situation.
Help resolve a sandy situation thanks to global warming.
Okay.
How does this... Wait. Now I have to understand the sentence itself, right? So, 1 foot set on Mount Everest. Help resolve a sandy situation thanks to global warming. Thanks to global... The structure of the sentence doesn't make sense to me.
So...
Somebody went to Everest.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Got stuck in sand, but then because of global warming, the ice that the sand was in melted.
No.
Okay, how about this? He found something on Everest that helped somebody in the desert. Huh?
I like that a lot.
Not quite.
Fuck you.
Okay. Can we hear it one more time?
Okay.
Run it one more time. Run it one.
1 foot placed on Mount Everest helped resolve a sandy situation thanks to global warming. How?
Is there a dust storm involved in this?
No.
Sandy situation. Thanks to global warming.
Yeah, what the
hell? I don't know how global warming's involved in this because it seems totally disconnected.
Okay, Mount Everest melting snow because of global warming?
Close.
Okay.
Also, is it literally 1 foot?
Yes.
Interesting.
Okay. So
where's the rest of the body?
We don't know.
What if he's a one-footed man and he's fucking with us? Like, this is a guy who proved that you can do Mount Everest trip with 1 foot.
Due to global warming, though?
Now you see, there's now more sand on it because like the snow melted away. So now it's possible to do it on 1 foot.
Yeah, everyone knows thanks to global warming, now the gravity goes up on Mount Everest.
So here's what I'm thinking is you've got a foot, right? It's on a shelf of ice on Mount Everest. 1 foot, Mount Everest.
You're warm.
Global warming, ice melts. Foot starts falling down the hill.
Falls into the nearby desert that everybody knows is near Mount Everest.
Well, not quite really, but far below the mountains, you have a town of people living their normal lives. But they notice their windowsill has been getting a bit dusty with sand for some reason. Mm-hmm. It's been sandy. What is that tumbling from the mountain above? Is one loose foot headed straight for my windowsill? And as it lands, it blows all the sand off. Sandy situation resolved thanks to global warming. 1 foot.
Fuck, how'd you get it? That's
crazy.
Thank you very much. No, not quite.
Fuck.
Okay. Is there any hint potentially?
Do you want a hint? Okay.
Yes, we do.
There is no sand involved.
What the fuck is wrong? What do you mean there's no sand involved?
Okay.
Sandy
so it was
situation,
dust
though.
On the windowsill.
So what could sandy mean?
A sandy situation.
I mean,
sandy.
Sandy. Oh, is this a human name?
Yes, it is.
So,
it is indeed.
Oh my god, they found the remains of Sandy because of global warming, but they only found her foot.
Yes.
Jesus.
You got it. Who could Sandy possibly be?
Oh, there's more riddles. Fuck this. It goes deeper, Henry.
I will give you this, though, in terms of figuring out who Sandy is. So what was found was a cracked leather boot with a sock in it with A.C. Irvine, which is Sandy Irvine, sewn onto it, and it was spotted in the snow. This emerged because of something. We'll figure that out. The boot's sole was studded and bracketed with diamond-patterned steel hobnails of a bygone era of climbing.
Okay.
So where does that leave us now?
What do we have to figure out?
Well, okay, who is Sandy? And how did global warming factor into this? Fully.
Fully.
I mean, who is she? She's an explorer who went missing. Duh.
He.
Oh.
His name is Andrew.
Come on, Rudy.
I forgot what the
C was
for.
His name is Andrew?
Yeah.
Where's the fucking Sandy?
As a kid, he loved eating sand, and so his friends called him sand.
No, last week he got crabs, and then people started calling him Beach, which evolved into Sandy.
Oh my god.
I mean, okay, bygone era, boots attached, like the diamond shape, metal stars. That would be something of the Explorer Age when, like, there's no mobile phones yet.
Yes, in fact, this was about 102 years ago.
There you go. So that's 20th yeah. century still.
So, well, I'm thinking that our friend Ascend of the Mountain got stuck, right? He got stuck
Avalanche.
Somewhere. Avalanche is a good call. His boot maybe fell off his feet because he hadn't tied his shoelaces properly, the goose
and
that he is.
Global warming, like, just melted whatever the boot was in, either ice or snow, right?
Yes, so his boot, if I remember right, the foot still in it, was found, and it was, well, when he went missing in June of 1924, June 8th, 1924 specifically, his foot got stuck in a glacier, which, as it was melting, revealed itself back in, I think, October 2024. But who is Sandy Irvine? A British explorer, yes.
Exactly. That's what I was saying.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. When was Mount Everest first conquered? Or
We should know this, Henry. we should know this.
Yeah, we should know this, really. But
Henry, we do the double whammy. You see, we can smart this way out. Do like a long guess. I will go research.
Okay, Sid. Let's break this down, right? So this is me guessing, one guess, but it's very long. Realistically, it could have not been before, let's say, 1800, right? Because you need an oxygen tank. Mm-hmm. So you need to be able to get up there. You need some equipment. This person was found in 1924. It has to be after 1800. I'm going to go with 1878.
No.
1860. 1850, 1870,
71, 72, 3, 4, 5, 6, okay, 1890s,
1901, 1920, 1930, 1931, 1940, 1950, 1960, 1951, 1953, 1953, 1953,
1953,
final guess, lock it in.
The fucking...
Yes. That was a good first guess for me. I guess I was just lucky.
Yes, in fact... Mount Everest was conquered on the 29th of May 1953 by Edmund Hillary and Tenzing Norgay. So this was 1924. So what the fuck was he doing on Mount Everest?
Trying to conquer it, duh.
Bars, you're so right, Rudy. That's exactly what he was trying to do. Alongside, what was his name? George Mallory.
George Mallory is, George Mallory is something I've heard before.
Yes. Yeah. In fact, George Mallory, so this, Sandy Irvine was on George Mallory's team trying to conquer Mount Everest in 1924. However, George Mallory's body was found in 1999. So Sandy Irvine had been completely missing on Mount Everest for 100 years, I think, exactly.
Holy.
Okay.
This George Mallory guy, have we done an episode about him?
As far as I could find, I don't think so.
Oh, okay. Because I've heard his name somewhere.
Yes.
I definitely have as well. And I know we've done something on Everest where some people went missing. Mm-hmm. So who's to say? I imagine we must have come across him somewhere already.
Yes.
Yeah. If only in our dreams, potentially. Okay.
But yes, these two were last seen on June 8th, 1924. And what was found on Mallory's remains was his remains revealed a sort of deep rope marks that indicate a fall that was caught by a rope wrapped around the waist. And this was documented in The Lost Explorer by Anker and David Roberts, who also, quote, said that, "I knew at once that he'd been tied to his partner and that he'd taken a long fall."
Yikes. Mm. Poor guy. But hey, mystery solved. No longer missing.
Yes, indeed. His family was still actually kind of looking for him. His, what is it, great niece wrote a book, in a sense.
That's interesting.
So George Mallory, founded in 1999, he was also due to global warming that his body like thawed out, or
no, it was just there.
He was just they just didn't get around to it until my birth year.
I mean, that's like what, 8 kilometers of height to explore.
Yeah, that's fair.
Almost 9.
Okay. And so they found the rest of Sandy, or it's just here's a loose foot.
Yeah, just his foot.
That's pretty.
So he's still somewhere. Bad. The body is still out there somewhere.
And it's for you listeners to go find it.
No, it's not for you listeners to go and find. No. But well, okay. Usually we do a segment where we try to figure out how they went missing, right? Because usually we don't find these folks.
Mm-hmm.
What do we know? What do we do now? I guess we. We found the foot.
We can speculate.
Think about this, guys. What if he's not dead?
Oh.
Well,
what if he saved himself by cutting off the foot to survive?
What if he's the Sasquatch? What if he's fucking Bigfoot? He chopped off his little... Because he chopped off his little feet and got big feet.
He grew a Bigfoot.
Nice.
Yeah, because the new feet that grew were way bigger than the before ones.
Yeah. Well, you know, he just took them from...
Oh, who had them that big?
Maybe George Mallory. I guess we'll never know.
the legendary foot tree on Mount Everest, of course.
Oh my God. Oh, I just had a picture of it like a pine tree, but except like fingers and foot.
Yeah, Basecamp 5, you know, everyone knows the tree.
Oh, no.
What if, you know, you say cut up his foot, right? But what if the situation was getting dire, right? They were starting to freeze. What if he just really concentrated and just made his body from 70% to 100% water, but his foot just wasn't right there. So it was just, you know, leave the foot behind. But he basically morphed into water, froze instantly, I should say, because of the
holy
temperature.
Fuck. Wait, guys, I think, then, Henry, I think you were onto something. I think you just solved it. I think Sandy Irvine is the next Avatar.
That's right.
Frozen self in ice for 100 years before revealing himself? Fuck. Oh,
I didn't even think about it that
exactly
way.
That's exactly what
he did.
Shit.
So, I mean, I guess if he's still out there frozen, what was it, 1924? No, that so he would have emerged about 2 years ago.
Well, his foot did.
But
I think it's a slower process.
His refrigeration didn't go quite well.
He unfroze into a canyon and was just like, oh, shit. Died instantly. That's how the Avatar saga ends. You just hear this, like... You know, the Nepalese men are like the monks are there, like, and the new Avatar is supposed to be born at this hour. They all gather in their, like, temples. It's like, yeah, exactly. At some point through the sky, just like, do you feel him awakening? Splatters immediately. Oh shit, we're fucked. Yeah,
there was a disturbance in the force. I feel.
An avalanche comes down the mountain. Or now imagine him like a hillbilly. An avalanche is coming down and you just look at the avalanche and then on top of it, like a surfer, he's like, yeah! One foot only. The avalanche surfer.
Bars.
Okay, what about this?
Mm.
What if it was karma? So,
yeah,
he's out there about to die, and George Mallory, like, hanging by a thread, his, like, leg, he's basically holding, the rope is sort of, like, tied around the missing guy's leg, and George Mallory is hanging on, and he's like, save me, brother, save me. And the guy's like, long live the king, because I will be the one to discover Mount Everest. And he cuts off his foot and does, like, two middle fingers, but it also falls by accident.
I was about to say.
So, I have a theory about George Mallory, actually.
Tell me.
So, originally, George Mallory had a picture of his wife that he wanted to leave on Mount Everest. But they, when they found his body, the picture of his wife was not there. I think Sandy and Mallory were just fucking.
I mean, you have to keep warm somehow.
Yeah.
That's true.
Maybe they made a little train because the expedition had way more people.
But then where did he go? Because they found George Christ. Mallory. But where did the other guy go?
I guess. I guess they were fucking too hard.
He went into the snow to douche himself.
They fucked off a cliff.
Fuck, so clap his cheeks so hard an avalanche came down.
Feel the rain on your skin. No one else can feel it.
You just hear in the song, just add that.
Well,
Henry, any other theories?
Well, I'm wondering here in that vein, did maybe, you know, if they were clapping each other's cheeks, as some would say, right? Maybe George was a bit of a footman. And so Sandy decided, you know what? You know what? This is, I can't make it anymore, George. You know, this is too far. I've reached my, like, I've exhausted my strength. I've got to go back down. But you should continue. And to make sure that we can still be together, you can have my foot to hold on to.
Oh, my God.
And so he cut his foot off, gave it to his best friend, George, and he slowly descended.
Best friend whose cheeks they were clapping.
That's right. They were so best, so good friends that they were clapping cheeks day and night.
This is how history is rewritten. This is literally the problem. Oh my God, I wonder what they were doing back in, like, you know that story about Oscar Wilde and whoever, like the other guy? Henry, have you heard this?
Not sure.
There's the famous story that, like, historians basically for the longest time denied that Oscar Wilde was homosexual.
Mm-hmm.
And was sort of, like, how do I say this, for lack of a better term, fucking about once in a while. And
right.
Him being a poet, he actually pretty explicitly just said in his poems and, like, poetry that, you know, like, he likes men and that kind of stuff. There's one that is very explicit if you really just think about it. It's very explicit. But anyway, so historians, the story goes that a guy who later became a historian and taught this to his class, he was like, I remember back in my day, there was this old lady in my historian class, and she was basically like, yeah, at some point, these great two poets, so Oscar Wilde and one other poet whose name I don't remember now, but they're, like, very, like, big in the poetry world, they, like, actually met, like, their paths crossed, and they went to each other's place, but, like, we don't have any records of that, so I wonder what they were doing, you know? It was, like, probably some good ideas were born that way. And then the guy, later growing up, seeing the records, he's like, yeah, they just fucked. Like, that's the big mystery. They okay. were just fucking.
Can I just say, so the person who the boyfriend is Lord Alfred Douglas. And I hope, I want everyone to know that the way I found this is because I Googled Oscar Wilde boy toy. And his name popped up. So. Oh my God. So the other day I was on Instagram and I came across, like, this very, what is it? Toxic masculine thing about this guy talking about the Oscar Wilde quote that says something along the lines of, I wouldn't touch a woman with a yardstick. And this guy goes off being like, yeah, because, you know, women disease. And then this other guy's like, no, my guy, he was gay.
Oh, no.
Maybe, oh, right. You gave me an idea. Maybe that's the toxic masculinity that happened on that mountain. Manosphere. I haven't seen that like new Netflix show, but apparently it's by Louis Theroux. It's pretty good, apparently. We should watch it. But point being is, what if it was, oh, you think I'm a pussy? I'm gonna cut off my own leg and go up the hill. And then he fell.
just for fun?
Yes.
I think
George was like, you know what? I bet you wouldn't even cut your foot off to climb Mount Everest. Just out of nowhere, unprompted. You know what? I don't think you would cut your foot off, Sandy. And Sandy was like, I won't take that from you, fucker. I'll show you right now.
So, there is actually possible backing for this theory because...
Oh!
When Mallory's body was found, his right leg was badly broken and his left leg was completely uninjured and was laid delicately over the break, hinting that he didn't die immediately from the fall. But I don't think it was the fall that killed him.
So what they both did is like, who gets uphill faster with a broken leg? One of them committed a bit too much and cut off the leg, the other one just broke it.
Yeah, exactly.
This was just a really, really high-stakes game of truth or dare, and they just went dare only.
What if the guy who went missing, what if his ghost is now around? You know like how sometimes people say that like ghosts stay in this world because they have some unfinished business? My man is just looking for his foot, which will now he won't find because somebody took it.
God damn you, National Geographic, because that's who took the foot.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, those National Geographic, they're always out there.
Hell yeah.
And now... now our friend is doomed to roam the mountains, trying to grab feet wherever he can.
He's a foot grabber. He just trips people off the mountain. Imagine.
Oh, no.
Okay. That's kind of... huh.
Yeah.
Interesting. We don't usually get a resolution. I do wonder if they will find his body at some point, though.
I mean,
like, nobody really goes on, like, National Geographic in this case, did they go looking for this guy or did they just kind of find it by doing some other things there?
As far as I read the article, I think they just found it because they were like, oh, there's a pile of snow. Oh, there's a foot in this pile of snow. AC Irvine, fuck! I think that, according to the article, that's how they reacted.
Yeah.
And these people just, in their back pocket, know who AC Irvine is.
I mean, National Geographic people...
That's so
people,
true, actually.
Oh, that conspiracy theory. Oh, my God. They were the people who actually, like, the family who murdered and now went back to finally, like, get the trail and was like, we're going to hide the body, but we only found the foot. Shit.
Oh, fuck. John National Geographic, what are you doing here? Why do you have a saw in your hand?
But honestly, out of everybody who would just have this as pocket knowledge, I would expect that to be somebody who works for National Geographic.
Fair.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Because, like, what's the modern day equivalent of, like, an explorer but a job? Like, an actual job, not like a hobbit. Hobbit. Hobby.
Hobbit, yes.
I mean, I don't know. Mm.
Wouldn't that still be
explorer? It's just not really a thing anymore, I guess.
Yeah, but I feel like you can still go, like, deep sea exploration. I would say it's still, like, it's mainly pushed by these kind of things. Like National Geographic and these kind of initiatives?
I would say you're an explorer still, as a job.
Yeah, no, like, honestly. That's what I mean. But, like, I guess I should have phrased it more like, where would you go to work to be an explorer?
I mean, I feel like it is. It's like either you try to become an astronaut or a deep sea... deep sea exploration man. Maybe you could start with underwater welding.
I
want to
be an explorer.
Welding.
I work for a deep sea mining company.
There you go. I mean, that works.
Oh, but I have heard that there is this really good company for deep sea exploration. It's called OceanGate. Really gets you a hands-on knowledge of the seabed.
Did you hear that they're about, or some other companies about to make a submarine to prove that OceanGate was stupid, and they're also going to do the same route to Titanic?
Sounds lovely. Sounds like a great client.
This is such a depressing dick measuring contest. I'm sorry. You're like, what the fuck?
Yeah. No, it's fully like, who cares? Like.
Yeah.
We all know that it's like, who cares? You know?
Yeah, exactly.
You don't have to prove to me that the sub was bad because it got blown up. So I believe it.
No.
Sid, may I have the floor briefly? as you may know, we have our favorite segment, Rudy's Rocks, ready.
To be rocked.
So, I will post an image, friends, in the chat. Rudy will describe the rock to you, and then we will have a look at seeing what it is.
Oh my god.
Now, this is not very on theme because I did just pick a rock that I found online.
That's calling that a rock is a bit of a stretch.
Is it?
Shall I begin?
Begin.
So, ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at a what looks to be a desert. A rocky desert at that. Mm-hmm. But when Henry says rocks, this is a jagged rock cliff formation. It looks to be some kind of calcium, something like that. Imagine stalactites or stalagmites, the ones that go from the ceiling, but upwards from a desert. It looks like an ant colony could live there, to be honest. They're very like sharp and jagged up top, and half of them seem to be exposed to some kind of elements like wind or water or something like that. They're very porous, very spongy, but some others are just like normal rocks. And it's a formation. It looks like a dried out coral, but like gigantic. And it's very nice color gradient. The sky is very blue, but everything else is super orange and sandy.
Yes.
So, and it looks like, if you would think about it, just like coral reefs are the New York of underwater, this looks like it could be, you know, New York of the desert. You know, this looks like a skyline to me.
Concrete jungle, wet dream tomato.
What do you think, Sid? What does this... is there anything that you see in this shape?
I was thinking that this kind of looks like if you were to take a large coral structure and put it in a desert for like a few hundred years. It looks very corallic, I guess. Like, it has these weird little holes in it that would make anyone with, I guess, trypophobia really uncomfortable. But it seems almost characteristic of corals... calcified. Something about the color is almost very bone-like.
Yeah, you know, when I was looking at this picture, I was thinking this sort of looks like one of the, like a fantasy castle, you know, like the several towers. That's why this one stood out to me, especially like some of those spikes on the middle ones.
Yeah.
Well, friends, this is a rock in the Pinnacle Desert, which is a desert in West Australia. It's not known how they form, but it's basically a desert full of just jagged rocks like this peeking out of the ground. There's several theories, but no.
Yeah, you're right. There is something weirdly Australian about this.
And of course, our second favorite segment, Sid's socks. So I will post a picture of socks in the chat now. And we do the same thing.
Fuck, how'd you get a picture of those? This was supposed to be a personal thing.
Please describe these socks, Sid.
Right, so starting from like the mid-calf all the way down to halfway across your foot, it is black with little white hearts in a pattern. Then from halfway to your foot to the base of your toes is a really wide chick, as in baby hen. All the toes are sequentially green, light sage, almost a magenta, eggshell white, and like a light orange. And they all have little chicks on them, with two of them still coming out of their shell because they're kind of late bloomers in that sense.
I think a very, very important feature is that every single finger is singular on that sock.
Well, yeah, all of my socks are.
I wanted to use this lovely opportunity to discuss the concept of toe socks and what we think about them.
Don't have to look too far. Remember the friend I talked about who had fun in Portugal? That guy, unironically, for his birthday wish, is getting shoes like these.
Why? Why would you want to... What?
Hey, maybe he wants to give people a score out of 10 with his toes. He can be like...
Yeah. I don't know. I just looked up socks and I saw these monstrosities and I was like, why?
George Mallory and Sandy Irvine would have a field day with their fucking foot fetish with these socks.
For sure, so for sure.
They could unwrap one toe at a time or some shit.
Okay. Okay. Well,
thank you for making some time for my middle of the episode segment, Sid.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
Wait, guys, I might take a minute. I'm feeling kind of nauseous.
You look really queasy. Are you okay?
Oh, I'm starting to feel the same. What's going on? Whoa.
Right. Whew. So, thank you so much for listening to Globally Local FM episode. I feel kind of nauseous. Which one was this? Whatever. Episode of. Brought to you by Tome of Huzzah. If you want to give us some feedback, you can either do that on Spotify or find me at 000REDYS000. So 000 Rudy's 000 at Insta. You can find Henry.
You can find me in bed trying to recover from this nauseous fever dream
I just
had.
I don't know what the hell we ate, bro, but this shit ain't flying much. Right, but let's power through, professionals. We will see you next week in
Taipei in Taiwan.
There you go. So, how are we getting there? With an ambulance, probably.
Yeah, probably.